Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host to the Daily Challenges. This week we've been talking about the practices of the very first Christians, the pioneers, if you will. What did they do when they gathered together as a church community for the very first time ever in history? We've seen four main characteristics. They held to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. They broke bread together. They prayed. And finally, they had a common life. They shared whatever they could with one another, especially those in need. Now, everybody who reads these four characteristics of the early church is left with a question. You know, what do we do with it today, 2,000 years on? Are these things meant to be copied? Is every church community that doesn't look exactly like this a failure? Are they principles? That's the question we're going to think about today as we try to see how this applies to us in this world, in this day and age, especially as a community of people on the go, studying what it means to follow Jesus in sync as we try to become a church community. Now, certainly there have been some Christian movements in history, and even today, who have read this and come to a realization they're far from what the Bible holds out to be a church community and have repented and tried new things. That's great. Sometimes they've tried to copy this exactly and said we need to do exactly as it says here, and that can be challenging because we have to figure out what here is principle and pattern to be emulated and what here is just circumstantial. What parts of this story are there because they were Jewish Christians, because they lived in Jerusalem, because they had a certain kind of society? That's a tough thing to figure out, but it's our challenge throughout the Bible. Now, churches today generally will look at these four principles and say, yes, these are principles and patterns for us to follow today, if not to the letter, at least in spirit. We're going to look at some of the ways churches today try to live these things out, starting with the apostles' teaching and fellowship. Christians around the world today are all in their own way trying to figure out how to stay true to the original teaching of Jesus. They have various methods for communicating Jesus' teaching. Some churches will have, you know, several readings from the Bible and maybe a very short sermon about it. Other churches will have maybe a short reading and a very long sermon about that reading. Whatever form and length it takes, though, I think what matters most is that we're trying to get back to the original teachings of Jesus and his apostles, and that means going to Scripture, the best record we have of what Jesus actually taught while he was here on earth, coming directly from the eyewitnesses. So we want to focus on the Bible, God's Word. We have it as a permanent record of what Jesus did and said, and so it needs to be the source of our teaching if we're going to claim to be a church that is in continuation with the apostles' teaching and fellowship. Where churches today get into trouble is when they dismiss the Bible and claim to have a different word from God, all of their own, that nobody else can test or deny, where they're not getting their teaching from Scripture, but rather from themselves. That's a dangerous place to be. And that's when a church starts to diverge from the pattern we see set in Acts 2 that we read a couple days ago. The next element of church life that we've seen is the breaking of bread, that they gathered together for meals, just to enjoy a meal, get some food, but also to remember the night that Jesus was about to die and he took bread and wine and gave them a much bigger significance. For some churches, that means weekly celebrating communion, every week sharing communion. For other churches, it means much more occasional celebrations of communion. Sometimes it's done with all sorts of linens and beautiful hardware, silver chalices and things like that. Other times it's done very simply with individual cups and crackers. Whatever format we see communion being celebrated in, however frequently, what matters is that we're trying to hold to the original words of Jesus in the Bible. When he actually instituted communion, those words are really important. It's important for us to remember what Jesus said about the bread and wine, what they were to mean to followers of Jesus for centuries on. Whether we do it a lot, whether we do it a little, whether we do it with silver chalices, whether we do it with plastic cups, what matters is that we are trying to stay true to those words and that we're not just dismissing this as something we have to do, something magical or otherwise. The next thing is the devotion to prayer that we see in the early Christians. They were devoted to a life of prayer. And again, Christians pray in different ways, some very loudly, some very quietly. Some churches pray together in what we could call common or corporate prayer. Other churches encourage an individual's prayer life much more. that people pray individually in their homes or quietly on their own at church while gathered with other people praying on their own. Whatever method we use, whatever words we use, again, what matters is we are staying true to what Jesus taught about prayer, that it's not a magic formula, but rather it's part of a relationship with God. We've taught about prayer before in our daily challenges. It's an important part of this church's life in the New Testament, and it needs to be an important part of our life as followers of Jesus, especially as we try to gather together in a very unconventional way by trying to stay in sync even while we go about these busy lives. So prayer is one of the important things that'll help us stay connected to God while we try to be connected with one another in learning to follow Jesus. Finally, we see that the first Christians were committed to something we could call the common life. They were sharing what they had, even selling their things and sharing them as others had need. And that's a challenging one to see how it applies today. There are some today who still try to take this really literally. I know some people who, in one way, are going to try to take part of it literally by living together. They're starting a co-living home in Vancouver where they are going to have multiple units for different families. They're all going to share common cooking and eating space and common play space for children and things like that in an attempt to live in a biblical community, trying to take these words and bring them to life today. Doesn't look exactly like, you know, 2,000 years ago, but it's trying to take the spirit of that and find a modern way to live it out. Others might go further, really, you know, claiming to have no possessions of their own, but sharing them with others entirely. And that's extremely challenging. And very few people actually do that, but that doesn't mean it's any less laudable. Whatever way people try to live this out today, and I know it's controversial, I think what matters is that we are staying true to Jesus's character himself as one who gave everything, who sacrificed everything for others. Claim to follow him, we want to be sacrificing whatever we can, to whatever degree we can, in order to show others the generosity and sacrifice of Jesus, lived out in people like us. That's enough of a challenge. And we see these first Christians trying to live it out in a way for their time, and we need to figure out the way for our time. As you can see, there's lots of variation in how Christians have tried to live these different things out. Tons of variation in there, but what really matters is that they are committed to using these practices as a way to prepare for their mission. Like Chris Hadfield had to live out all these different practices in order to be ready for a space mission, we need to find ways to live out in a way that prepares us for our mission of being and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in our world. Many churches today, like the one behind me, they have their own challenges in trying to live out these four principles. As they face challenges in living out their mission in the world, being and sharing the good news of Jesus, they're going to need to return to these four principles too and say, are there things we're doing that aren't part of those four things? Do they need to go? Are we not doing things that are in these four that we should be doing? As Redeem the Commute becomes Redeemer Church, we need to think the same way. How do we try to live out these things as a brand new church rising up from just a scattered network of people? We have our own challenges, but so do other churches, so know that we're not alone. Well, my challenge for you today is to think a little more deeply about how we can live these things out in today's world. With whom can you gather to start adopting these practices? Think about the people you're discussing the daily challenges with. As a small group, how can you start adopting these practices? Which of these four would you find hardest, and which would you find easiest to live out? Maybe you can start talking to those you shared our challenges with or maybe had some discussions with. See if you can start to do this more regularly, to commit to regularly discussing Redeem the Commute's way of honoring the apostles' teaching and fellowship. Then think of what it looks like to break bread together, to have some meals together, and then talk to me about what the next step would look like to start sharing communion as a community. Start thinking about praying together regularly, not just on Fridays, but whenever you're together, learning to pray for one another's needs. And finally, common life. What would it look like to actually share some of the riches that you each have with the others? What does it look like just to share life together, to start seeing more of each other, going to parties together, getting your kids together for play dates, whatever it might look like, living a common life? Those are just some of the things that I hope we can start to do as organic small groups, rising up from individuals scattered around Durham Region and around the GTA, learning to follow Jesus in sync using Redeem the Commute's content. That's part of our dream that we're going to become a church community arising from these scattered, disconnected, busy people. I hope you have a great discussion and transition as a small group towards becoming more of a little tiny church. Get in touch with me if you have questions about how that looks. I know it's not easy to see and it's kind of countercultural. Either way, have a great one, and I'll see you tomorrow as we take time to pray and reflect as a community. Bye for now.